Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
If you have found yourself as a Christian in a difficult experience and really at a loss to explain or understand what's happening to you, I think this is a program you won't want to miss today. We have another tremendous life study from the book of Romans today, and Ron Kangas has been kind enough to join us for more fellowship on this very incredible life study. Ron, thank you for coming back for this particular program today.
Thank you for the opportunity rendered to me to participate in this exceedingly precious ministry based on Romans 8.
Ron, we have a message from Romans chapter 8 that's just completely full. In the interest of conserving time and getting as much of it in as possible, we're going to skip over our usual introductory portion and just go right to Witness Lee, and then you and I will be back in a few minutes to have fellowship about it. So let's join Witness Lee with today's life study from Romans.
Verse 17, "And if children, heirs also, and heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ." Have you noticed, after "also," you have a semicolon there? Don't say, "We are children, so we are heirs." Don't say that. As long as you have the spirit witnessing within, you are the children of God. But for you to be promoted from children to heirs, there is a condition. What is the condition? "If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." To be the heirs, you need to suffer. But don't forget, suffering is the incarnation of grace. Right? So don't be afraid of that. "If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." The more suffering you pass through, the more glory will be intensified to you. Suffering increases the intensity of your glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul tells us, even the light of the stars has a degree. Some stars shine more brightly. We all will be shining. We all will be glorified. But what will be the intensity of our glory? This depends upon how much suffering we are willing to take. It is for sure that Apostle Paul in that day will shine more intensively than all of us. We all will be glorified, but the intensity of our glory will differ according to the degree of our suffering. Verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us." The present suffering means nothing compared with the glory. Verse 19, "For the anxious watching of the creation eagerly expects the revelation of the sons of God." The revelation, that means the manifestation, the appearing of the sons of God. We all are here the sons of God. If we go out to tell the people on the street that we are the sons of God, they will think, "Well, crazy." They would say, "Look at you, look at me. What's the difference? Why you say you are the sons of God?" But one day will come, the sons of God all will be manifested. All will be revealed. By that day, we all will be glorified. We all will be designated by the glory of God. They all will see, and they all have to admit. This is the thing that today the whole creation is waiting for. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it. The whole creation today is subjected to vanity. King Solomon says, vanity of vanities. Everything under the sun is vanity. And the whole creation today is under this vanity. Verse 21, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption. Another two words, slavery and corruption. Today in the whole universe, there's nothing but vanity and corruption. This corruption is a kind of bondage. One day, the children of God will be brought into glory. With that glory, there is the freedom. And the freedom will be a kind of kingdom. When we will be brought into that kingdom of freedom, of glory, the whole creation will be freed from vanity, from corruption, from bondage, from the slavery. This is why the whole creation is waiting for that time. So we have too much to do with the whole creation. If we are going to get mature quite slowly, all the creation will blame us. They will say, dear children of God, you are growing too slowly. We are waiting for that day of your maturity. When you get into the glory, we all will be free from today's vanity, corruption, and bondage. So we have to be faithful to them. Don't disappoint them.
Ron, in the book of Romans, in this chapter, Paul uses these three words in relation to our sonship: children, sons, and ultimately, heirs. How do these three words correspond with the three stages in sonship?
Verse 16 of this chapter tells us that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And we know from other portions of the New Testament that we become children of God by believing into Christ, the Son of God, and we receive eternal life, and in this way, God the Father regenerates us to be his children. So this is where we all start, with the new birth, regeneration, being children of God. That's the stage of regeneration. And verse 16 testifies of this basic foundational relationship with God in life. Then we have the word sons, used, for example, in verse 14, that those that are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. I would point out that when the New Testament uses words like brothers or sons, the words brothers includes all believers. The word sons includes all believers. Just as the designation bride of Christ includes all believers. Having said that, we come to the central matter. In the context of Romans 8, we advance by the growth of life, the divine life increasing in us, from being children to being sons, those who are maturing. And this will involve what is mentioned in chapter 5, verse 10, much more being saved in his life. So this is the stage of transformation in our soul based upon regeneration in our spirit and including sanctification and renewing. So we go from children who are born of God in our spirit and have the divine life in our spirit. We grow into maturing sons who are being transformed into the same image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Then we have the word heirs, which is our ultimate state. We are joint heirs with Christ, an amazingly wonderful blessing. And we will be heirs when our body is transfigured and glorified. And that is the fullness of sonship, the full sonship. None of us are heirs yet. We will be heirs when our body is glorified and transfigured. That will be the full sonship, and at that time, we will be joint heirs with Christ.
Thanks, Ron. I really appreciate that response. Let's rejoin Witness Lee with more of our life study.
Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans together, not only groans, but also travails in pain. The travail is a kind of suffering in birth, in delivery of a child. Verse 23. And not only so, but we ourselves also, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan in ourselves, eagerly expecting sonship, the redemption of our body. We have to admit we are also in the old creation, at least partially. So we are also groaning here. But while we are groaning, we have the first fruit of the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is just the Spirit itself for your enjoyment. The first fruit is the foretaste of the harvest. And this foretaste is just His divine Spirit as the foretaste of the full enjoyment of God Himself. Even while we will be suffering, under the suffering, we do have the joy. We do have the enjoyment. We do have what we call the presence of the Lord. And what's that? Just the Spirit as the first fruit for our enjoyment. On the one hand, our outward man groans, but our inward man rejoices. Why we rejoice? Because we have the first fruit of the Spirit. The divine Spirit is within us as the foretaste of our God. This is one big item of the blessing of the sonship. While we are enjoying the first fruit, and while we are groaning, we are expecting the sonship. Here the sonship means the full sonship. We have the sonship within us, but the sonship has not become full. But by that day, we will have the full sonship. What is the full sonship? That is the redemption of our body. We have the sonship for our spirit. In a sense, we also have the sonship for our soul. But we don't have the sonship for our body yet. In that day, we will also have the sonship for our body. And the sonship for our body is the sonship in full, and that is the redemption of our body. We are really waiting for that. But while we are waiting, we have to grow. You have to grow. The quicker we grow, the earlier that day will come. Verse 24. For we have been saved in hope. In what hope? In hope of the glory. We hope we will get into the glory. Don't chat with me, brotherly. Would you please tell us what can glory will be in the future? I don't know. I've never seen it. I can't tell you. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly expect it through enduring. So many expecting saints did say, Lord, how long? Another 10 years? Another generation? How long, Lord? It really becomes a test to our endurance.
Ron, in this portion, we heard these terms, suffering and groaning. What have they to do with the working of the Spirit in producing heirs of glory?
Well, Paul uses these terms deliberately based on both revelation and his very deep spiritual experience. So suffering is mentioned here. For sanctification, we do not need to pass through sufferings. Sanctification involves our soul being saturated with the holy nature of God. But the process of organic salvation, salvation in life, in 5:10, doesn't stop there. We need to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. We're not only transformed into the same image, we are conformed to this image, implying there's a mold to which we are being conformed. And this experientially involves suffering. With respect to the coming kingdom, which will be a reward to the overcoming believers, the believers will have different degrees of glory according to the depth of their suffering issuing in their preparation for glorification. So a certain amount of sufferings are measured out to us by the sovereign God, our Father. Then groaning. Groaning is mentioned more than once in this chapter. We're told that the fallen creation is subject to vanity and corruption, groaning to be delivered from that fallen state. And then we ourselves, as believers, are groaning deep within. We may not even know why, but actually the context reveals it's related to our being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And then the Spirit intercedes in us and for us with groaning. If we are groaning, the Spirit joins us in groaning. And the groaning mentioned in verses 26 and 27 is related to being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God in verse 29. So when Paul brings forth these expressions, he is speaking from deep within the realm of this experience. And as we advance in our experience, we can increasingly connect with what Paul is saying and apply what he's saying and understand what he's saying.
Thanks, Ron. Let's return to Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study.
Then verse 26. And in like manner, the Spirit also joins in to help us in our weakness. But what does it mean in like manner? The manner here includes all the points in the foregoing verses. We are groaning. The Holy Spirit is also groaning. We are expecting. He is also expecting. We are hoping, he is also hoping. We are eager in expecting, he is also eager. And we are enduring with endurance, he is also enduring with endurance. Whatever we are, he is also the same. In like manner, to join in. He is just as what we are. Do you know, when you pray loudly, he prays also loudly. When you pray softly, oh Father, he also in like manner prays for you. If you pray quickly, rejoicingly, shoutingly, he also prays in this manner. Your manner is just his manner. Don't think the Holy Spirit is so different from us. The thing that is revealed in Romans regarding the Holy Spirit is that he is in our manner. He is just in our manner. He joins in. He didn't ask you to join in. He joins in. He comes to you to join with you. He didn't say, come up to the third heaven to join me. I'm afraid none of us could make it. He just joins in our manner. So try to pray. Whether you pray strongly, or you pray weakly, you pray softly, you pray slowly, you pray pitifully, in like manner, he joins you to help you. For we do not know for what we should pray as is fitting, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings in our manner. His groaning is in your groaning, but he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to God. So he groans that we might be conformed to the image of God. Up to this point, we all can see that we are the sons of God. And now we are enjoying all the blessings of the sonship. The spirit of sonship, the witnessing of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit, the helping of the Spirit, the interceding of the Spirit, eventually the full sonship of the sons of God.
Ron Witnessly brought up this phrase, in like manner. Can you give us an example from the scripture and maybe an illustration of what this phrase refers to?
First, we need to have a clear understanding of the underlying principle here, in like manner. We as believers, in whatever stage of spiritual development we're in, have certain characteristics. We may groan, we may sigh, we may have yearning within us, longing within us. The groaning is there. And the Spirit, he comes to us where we are and enters into our situation as it is. If we are quiet, he will be quiet. If we are weak, he will seem to be weak. He fully enters into our situation and in this way is interceding for us. You mentioned a request for some illustration. The Lord in Gethsemane, when he was praying there with deep sorrow in his soul, surely the divine spirit was deeply one with him, entering into his sorrow, struggling along with him, enabling him to choose the Father's will, that the cup would not pass, because it was the Father's will that he drink this cup. And then Paul is writing chapter 8, This was his own testimony. He didn't know what to pray. He didn't have the utterance. He may not even know exactly what he's praying for. The Spirit comes in like manner. And the Spirit knows the goal of this kind of prayer in like manner is the full sonship. It is being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. According to the Lord's word, our deepest experiences should be in secret, as the Father is in secret. But we can testify that countless spiritual maturing believers live this way, day by day. They're longing, they're seeking, they're groaning, even they're travailing. And the Spirit comes in like manner and prays with them and in them and through them. This is just a wonderful portion of Romans 8 to open the way for us to enter more deeply into the experiences of Christ in resurrection as the Spirit that will bring us all eventually into full sonship.
Ron, thank you for your fellowship today. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back again with another life study of Romans with Witness Lee. For Ron Kangas, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.